Sometimes in life it's not easy to remember things, and I had one of those moments in heading down towards Victor and Strathalbyn. I was in Victor Harbour yesterday for a musical rehearsal with the Victor Harbour City Band, and I was heading down a day or two earlier, and I'd put all my stuff on the lounge chair at home that I was going to bring down to actually do it. And we have a little place in Victor where we rest our heads sometimes, and I realised when I was on the expressway that I didn't have a shirt to wear, which is very unusual, because I do have some clothes there, but on this occasion I did not have a shirt to wear. And so I thought, what can I do? I'm speaking at the church here in Strathalbyn, so what am I going to do? I have no shirt to wear, etc. So part of me thought I could wear my Victor Harbour City Brass Band uniform, but I thought that's not a good look at the Church of Christ. So having forgotten all this, yesterday morning at 9 o'clock, my dear wife Elaine was in River's store in Victor Harbour sending me pictures back of shirts. So here I am today. So please compliment Elaine on her choice. Thank you. Much better than what I would have chosen being a man, but we won't go into that. Anyway, it's good to be here, and good to have a shirt to wear too. All right. So we heard the reading from the Gospel of Mark, and the journey continues, and good for us to consider the sending out of the 12 to conduct ministry this morning. And as I've looked at that and spent some time on this during the week, I've looked into the scriptures and thought that there are some ministry principles for us to look at this morning, in that we who are part of the church, we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we conduct ourselves in the church, and what do we do, and what does the church do? And there are some biblical ministry principles for us to consider, for us as individuals, and I guess corporately for the church. So the plan from Jesus had always been that he would send out the 12. That is, those who would be sent out, and they would indeed at some stage go and perform ministry. This had always been the plan, and we're in Mark 6 today. But in Mark 3, 13 to 15, we can read this. This is earlier. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. So there it is, sending out. Preach, authority to drive out demons. Might. Well, the might has disappeared, and now is the time for the 12 to go out. They have indeed witnessed Jesus bringing healing to the sick, casting out of evil spirits, and of course they've heard him teaching to many people. If we have been trained to do something and then we get the opportunity to go solo in whatever it is, sometimes you get a feeling of apprehension. Am I really ready to do what I am supposed to do? A young acquaintance of mine got her driving license the other day after about 18 months or 20 months of being taught, and she passed, which was good news. And I would suspect that for her there was a sense of apprehension and nervousness on the first day that she went to university and got to drive herself. Well, the scripture doesn't tell us if there was a sense of nervousness in the little detail that we have. There may have been a flutter of the heart perhaps for those disciples saying, well, this is the moment. Jesus is sending us out. It's time to go. Just an obedience to go and do what Jesus had empowered them to do, which is something that we should certainly take notice of. There are times in life when we just have to take the plunge and do what is being asked of us. Obedience to God for the disciples required a step of faith, which we can see that they took. So, from the example of the disciples, the ones sent out, the 12, in our reading today, can I suggest that there are some biblical principles that reveal what the ministry of the church should look like, be about. And that ministry of the church is revealed in our lives, us who make up the church, we who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who at the end of the Gospel of Matthew revealed to us what has been termed the Great Commission. That again reinforces some of the principles that we will consider very briefly this morning in this passage before us from the Gospel of Mark. Just to reacquaint us with that scripture, Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It was about 30 years ago that I commenced full-time ministry in 1994, and I think I've shared this with some of you before, in the town of Huonville, in the beautiful Huon Valley in Tasmania, 40 kilometres south of Hobart, a cold place but a very beautiful place. And over the following decades, I went to what seemed like a conference every year to discover what the ministry of the church should look like. I listened to people from lots of different churches, got lots of different reading materials, got the folder that I would take home with me, and some of you are smiling there, you've been there yourself. But in all of this, the overarching thing about the teaching was that it was based on biblical principles. And it's important for us to think about that today, about the principles for ministry, biblical principles for ministry from the inspired Word of God. So from our reading, I'd like to make a couple of suggestions this morning for our consideration. First of all, it is a biblical ministry principle that the church engages with people, that the church engages with the community that it finds itself in. And secondly, it is a biblical ministry principle that the church preaches on repentance. Well, first of all, a biblical ministry principle that the church engages with people. To set the context, and no doubt you heard this reading last week perhaps, Jesus comes from ministry in his hometown of Nazareth where he is not well received. There is a lack of belief in Jesus, and so he moves on to teaching in the villages. Even in these circumstances, in Nazareth and in the villages, as Jesus is going about ministry, it's pretty straightforward. He's engaging with people. He's engaging with people. He's teaching them. He's performing ministry. So the 12 have witnessed this, and now he sends out the disciples two by two. Some thoughts are that there would be mutual support for each other, and that's why Jesus sent them out two by two. Another thought is that there would be a witness to the ministry that would take place, so that when they reported back what they had done, that indeed it would be confirmed by a witness. They are to trust God for everything in their travels. You heard the scripture. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. They were to depend on the hospitality of people that they came across. To do this, then they had to engage with people. They weren't to go away and sit under a tree. That's not what Jesus told them to do. He sent them out two by two. Follow my example. Get involved with people. And it would not always go the way that they would want it to go. And that was what happened to Jesus when he was in his hometown of Nazareth. Verses 10 and 11 we heard this morning say to us, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." Not to be accepted, again, proves the biblical principle of engaging with people. If someone's not going to accept the teaching of which you're giving to them, you actually have to engage with them for them to respond to you in that way. This whole subject of dusting off your feet as a testimony against them, I was intrigued by that, and so just let me read you a very brief paragraph from a guy called R. Alan Cole from a Tyndale commentary. I understand that this gentleman was part of the Christian Ministry Society about his teaching about shaking off the dust off your feet, and he said this: "Orthodox Jews shook off the dust when they returned to the Holy Land from Gentile regions. Those who reject the message of Jesus brought by his servant servants are not God's people, but have similarly made themselves Gentiles as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. So for those disciples, it wasn't going to be plain sailing. There would be those who would reject the message. And Jesus is alluding to what I've just spoken in that paragraph there. So all the way along, it's about engagement with people, accepting hospitality, whether people accept or reject the message. It's about engagement with people. The scripture presents a challenge to us as individuals in the church today about getting involved with people, engaging with people. That through the life of the church that the gospel can be seen and heard in the community. And again, if we consider the authority given by Jesus to the disciples in ministry over evil spirits, again, it means they're engaging with people in the community that they find themselves in. I was greatly encouraged here in the church in one of my visits. I can't remember, it was a month or two ago. And there was a discussion in the Sunday morning service here about a presence ministry, being present in the community, in which ideas and planning was spoken about how this church would engage in the community, with the community that the church finds itself in. And I see that there's something in the newsletter about a volunteer position, about getting involved in the community. It's important in the life of the church that they engage with the community that they find themselves in, to be part of the community that then leads to ministry opportunities for the church. As I've been thinking about that, my mind went back to an old advert on the television for the National Bank. And there was this advert on TV where there was this husband and wife, and they're sitting in a restaurant and it overlooks a harbour. And they are discussing, I think, a business opportunity that is there before them. And they are discussing whether they're going to take on this business opportunity. And as they're sitting there and as they're discussing this, a waiter comes up to them and says that ships are not meant to stay in the harbour. They are to go out and sail at sea. In other words, you need to launch your business. Well, for us in the church, we are called to engage with people. The church is not called to sit and do nothing. The church is to engage with people in the community. It's something Jesus calls his church to do, to go out. And we can see the principle here in the sending out of his disciples to ministry. There comes a time where we have to engage. So that's the first thing. It is a biblical ministry principle that the church engages with people. The second thing is, it's a biblical ministry principle that the church should preach repentance. So I looked up the word repentance, and I guess I've put together one or two words about this from everything that I read came up. The word repentance means a person feels or expresses sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. The biblical view of repentance is that it's a vital component of bringing a person to a true relationship with God. The message of the disciples calling people to repent was the same message that Jesus had spoken in the calling of the first disciples. So the disciples had heard Jesus preach this message of repentance before. Mark 1, 14 and 15 tells us this. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. The preaching of repentance was also the cornerstone of the ministry of John the Baptist. And I see that the church is going to look at something to do with John the Baptist next Sunday. But repentance was the cornerstone of his ministry. Mark 1, 4 and 5 says this. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So the disciples, as they go out in our passage today certainly did not decide to go out on their own and preach a message of repentance. It's what Jesus had modelled to them. It's what they had heard Jesus do. And can I suggest that they may have witnessed John the Baptist doing this as well. The disciples were indeed bringing the message of Jesus to people, this message of repentance that requires a change of mind, a change of action to the person who truly receives the message of repentance. And of course then, the forgiveness of sins. So the disciples got this biblical ministry principle, because if we look very briefly for a moment or two into the Acts of the Apostles for a couple of moments, we get some instances of Peter's preaching where we see that he preaches repentance. Peter's got what Jesus has instructed to them to do. First of all, Acts 3:19, on the occasion of the healing of the crippled beggar at the temple gate, just one verse. Repent, Peter says, as there's a crowd that gathers around. There's been the healing of this crippled beggar. And Peter's preaching to the crowd. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. If we go back a bit to the day of Pentecost, again Peter preaching, message of repentance, and it says this from Acts 2:36-38. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, they've got it, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. There's that link there, isn't there, about repentance and forgiveness of sins, that then true relationship with God comes about. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was at a gathering here for the Christian mission a couple of months ago that we heard about the ministry of the Christian Bookshop here in Strathalbyn. And they had a few books for sale afterwards. And Elaine, my wife, knows that I like a book, so she parted with a few dollars and bought me a book. And the book was Philip Yancey's Rumours of Another World. And as I've been reading that in recent weeks, there's a fair bit in it on repentance. And he says this, something in us resists repentance at all costs. We would rather deny, lie, blame, rationalize, but repent. Yet the words of Jesus in the earliest gospel include the straightforward command, repent. Repentance emerges as a consistent theme, repeated to a variety of audience that includes the rich and poor, powerful and weak, religious and irreligious alike. Friends, it's a biblical principle that the church should preach repentance to whoever it comes across. I suspect that sometimes preaching repentance is not a popular thing to do. And yet, it's a biblical principle for the church. And in the world that we live in, more than ever, it seems that people want to set their own values about all sorts of things, about how they actually live their life. The message from the church needs to be the same as the message of Jesus, and that is the message that the disciples took with them, the message of repentance that leads you to the forgiveness of sin that God wants to bring into people's lives, that they can be in true relationship with God. There is no true relationship with God without repentance. True relationship happens with God when we repent and we receive forgiveness of sins. I was reminded of this during the week, and my mind went back to a story that I had read some time ago about this whole subject of repentance. There was a guy, a minister I should say, called J. Edwin Orr. He was a Baptist minister of the 20th century. There's still some stuff on YouTube about him. And he was a contemporary of Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was preaching in Los Angeles, and I guess this may have been back in the 1950s or the 1960s, and J. Edwin Hoare, this Baptist minister, was there with him. And on this occasion, at one of those big rallies that they used to have all those years ago, it was attended by a notorious crime figure called Mickey Cohen. And Mickey Cohen expressed some interest in the message. J. Edwin Orr, the Baptist minister, later wrote, "So several of us talked with him, including Dr. Graham, but he made no commitment until some time later when another friend urged him with a Revelation 3:20 as a warrant to invite Jesus Christ into his life. This, Mickey Cohen, the crime figure, he professed to do. But his life subsequently gave no evidence of repentance, the mighty change of mind, heart and life. He rebuked our friend, telling him, 'You did not tell me that I would have to give up my work.' In other words, his criminal activities. He said to the guy who was talking to him, 'You did not tell me that I would have to give up my friends.' He meant his criminal associates. Mickey Cohen had heard that so-and-so was a Christian cowboy, so-and-so was a Christian actress, and so-and-so was a Christian senator. And he really thought that he could be a Christian criminal. There is no true relationship with God without repentance. True relationship happens with God when people repent and they understand that God brings forgiveness of sins and indeed brings true relationship, nothing separating them from God. So what then do we take away today for ourselves from these biblical ministry principles, from this account of Jesus sending out the 12 to ministry? First of all, that it's a biblical ministry principle that the church is to engage with people. We cannot get away from that. People in its community, people in other parts of the world, if need be. The key thing is to engage. And so we can look into our own lives as followers of Jesus Christ and think about the question, what practical things are seen through my life that I engage with people as a follower of Jesus Christ? If the church I belong to seeks engagement with the community, with the people around it, what part am I playing? Am I going to obey the biblical principle of engagement and engage with people, knowing that sometimes we may be rejected just as those disciples were rejected? The second biblical principle of ministry from Jesus in sending out the 12 to ministry is about the preaching of repentance. And perhaps, friends, I could suggest this morning that that starts with us preaching to ourselves on occasion. Does my life show that I have repented from the wrong in my life that separates me from God? If someone was to ask me to give a testimony of my faith where I would share with them what being a Christian means, would the word repentance be part of that testimony of faith? And of course, the challenge for the church is to preach what Jesus wants them to preach, which is to call people to repentance, that they would receive all that God wants to give them, that people would understand that God wants to bring forgiveness of sin into their life, that God wants to be in an everlasting relationship with people. So the challenge for the church is to preach what Jesus wants, which is the call to repentance, that people would receive all that God wants to give them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this morning. We give thanks for the opportunity to open your word. And our prayer would be that your Holy Spirit will just encourage us in the life of faith that you call us to. And in the season of life that we find ourselves in, that whatever it is, that we would seek to engage with those people around us and share the love of Jesus with them. So quicken us in our thoughts and in our actions that we would seek to engage in the community that you have placed us in. Also, we would pray that as we go about our living, that we would understand the true nature of repentance, that we would think of the blessings that you bring to our lives, that you have forgiven us as people, that you bring grace and love and mercy to who we are as your people, and that we may share that good news with people as on occasion we might be called upon to give a witness to our faith. We pray for the church, that the church would not forget about the message of repentance, that the church would model itself on what your word calls us to. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.